Moses was commanded to divide the sea with his rod. Did the rod actually do any of the dividing? No, the rod was merely an object. But that was what God commanded him to do with it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God, through Moses and his rod, divided the sea and made a clear path for the children of Israel to follow. I am called to study and through the Holy Spirit divide the scriptures. Strong says that the word dividing here means to make a straight cut or to expound the word. And I'm now responsible to make the word of God clear and understandable to those that are listening. Next is Exodus 17, verses 5 and 6. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. The Lord used Moses and his rod to bring water out of the rock and provide refreshment for the children of Israel. We're going to read John 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Am I focused on the natural needs of men, or am I focused on the eternal needs of the people around us? You know, you and I have been given the gift of salvation as an eternal spring of water, springing up into everlasting life. Am I sharing the hope of that gospel with those that are thirsting and without hope? Do I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest? And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. Is that what that means to me, the old story of salvation? Let's turn to Exodus 17, verses 9 to 12. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. I'm pretty sure that if I stood up here and held this rod up, my hands would be tired before I was even done with this point. It takes a lot of strength just to hold your hands up, much less holding something else up. And Matthew Henry brought out a very interesting concept from this story, the importance of intercession. Now, Joshua was called to fight here, but even doing his best, he only had victory when Moses was holding up the rod. And this isn't to minimize the importance in doing our best. But the Israelites' victory depended more on Moses than it did on Joshua, who was doing the actual fighting. Is the victory in the church as dependent on its leaders interceding for them today as it is for the individuals and their own personal responsibility? Am I providing a clear sign of the way to victory to those in the battle of life? We also see here that it was physically impossible for Moses to fill his responsibility by himself. His arms got tired. Our arms will get tired. Physically, we won't be able to do what we need to have victory by ourselves. And while we are all called to fill different places in God's kingdom, I think this shows the importance of interceding for each other. We often mention that we should pray for each other, but unless we identify the needs in our lives and our brothers do the same, it's hard to provide the support that they need. This was visible for the whole nation of Israel. I don't know if it was visible for the Amalekites, if they knew what was happening. But the nation of Israel knew that they were losing the battle when Moses' rod wasn't pointed up. And Aaron and Hur were there to support him in that work, to do exactly what needed to be done to provide victory for the whole nation. Do I realize that this doesn't revolve around me? It is a group effort. Next, we'll go to Numbers 20. Verses 7 to 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You know, just as Moses made a mistake here, I'm sure that there will be times that I will make mistakes. And there will be consequences. But I trust through the love of Jesus in our lives that reconciliation will be possible. What was Moses' failure here? This was the same thing that he had done almost 40 years before when he followed God's direction on striking the rock. But in verse 10, he took a personal responsibility for providing water. And it wasn't his. God was providing the water. He was taking the credit instead of telling the people that God would give them water out of that rock. What about myself? I believe two temptations that'll be very real to me will be the devil trying to discourage me for the poor job that I'm doing, or the good job that I've been, or making me proud because of the good job I'm doing. And I need to remember that this is God working through me, that I am just the stick in God's hand. It's not me. This is the power of God working through us, through me. The power isn't in the stick, it is in the God who is holding it. One more reality, and the rod is only mentioned one more place here in the Old Testament, but one more reality is that the rod wasn't always doing great things. Out of 40 years, and I don't know if Moses used the same rod the first 40 years in the wilderness that he used the 40 years tending sheep, because it could have been the same one for 80 years, theoretically. But 40 years is over 14,000 days, and we have a mention of less than 20 times 20 days where it's mentioned specifically. Most days, Moses was probably just leaning on it. He was probably using it for stability or climbing. Or maybe he was just looking out over his assembly, just wondering what his responsibility was going to be that day. I don't know. But it requires faithfulness every day to be there for when the days God has other things for you to do, more important things. Kevin likes to say the only days we remember are the days that go wrong. So I'm hoping for not too many exciting days. But in other words, I expect to be part of some miracles that happen in the church, just as there were instances in the Old Testament here. What is a greater miracle than a soul accepting Christ and the plan of salvation, the change in a life? There is no greater miracle. Or the restoration of trust and relationships among brothers. These are just a couple miracles that I believe are possible, and I believe we can be a part of. Lastly, I'm going to look at the rewards. And that will look at number 17. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. For each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds and bloom blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. When you look at this miracle, and I looked up an almond tree, and I don't even know if they made walking sticks out of almond trees, because they're pretty gnarly looking. I mean, it's possible that there would be a stick this straight, but it looked unlikely. But all 12 of these rods were dead when they took them in, but when God put his hand in that, it brought forth fruit. It doesn't say that they used that fruit for anything. But as I'm dead to the world, I can produce fruit for Christ. And we just had our summer Bible school on the fruit of the Spirit. But it's God that gets the glory. If this wasn't an almond stick, but it was producing almonds, that's how God can be in us. He can, in our carnality, he can, as through conversion, we can be bringing forth fruit that is for him, not for ourselves. When they took Aaron's rod back into the testimony here, they put that in the ark, and that was carried with them the rest of their travels. We don't know. And the rod that has been mentioned through here, sometimes it was Aaron, sometimes it was Moses. It says that God would tell them which rod to use. And this time here it was Aaron's. But it was still a stick in God's hands. But in reality, all of us, unless the Lord returns, are going to be put in a box someday. But we will all leave a legacy. There have been numerous people that have said that they remember my grandfather being here. And that's because of a legacy that he has left, that we even count that a privilege to having known him. But the legacy that I leave will be dependent upon whether I am being used by God or whether I am living selfishly. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this blessing that we have to gather together and study your word. Lord, I just pray that we would remember that what we do is from your power in our lives. Lord, help us to be servants for you as we go about our week. Lord, we pray for those that couldn't be here this morning. Just bless them wherever they're serving you. Pray for those that are in other lands. Grant them peace as they worship you and help them to be a witness for you. Lord, we ask that you would go with us the rest of this day and help us to evermore be a testimony of what your power can do in someone's life. I ask this all in thy name.